The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not
afraid, I'm not afraid. See Live off the record with Chicago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, AWACX, the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the National Insurance Board, RF Banking Trust, and Rostar Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers are 323-6232-3632. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, that's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC's Flow channel 612. So a few things to discuss today, hopefully. I caught a bit of one show today. I heard one talking about backyard farming, and I chuckled actually, because this morning, well, I have growing now. I already have growing. I have watermelon plants. So my plants have already produced. I've already eaten watermelon, and I have watermelon still on the vine. I have cantaloupe. Now, I produced a cantaloupe, but it didn't survive that particular one. I suspect it may have had something to do with my not having consistently been care for the plant. I have another cantaloupe that's growing. It looks very good, coming along very nicely. I expect that I'm going to harvest that. I've harvested cucumbers, but I let my cucumbers get out of control, so I had to do a restart on those. I had a great deal of tomatoes going on, but I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody could tell me, but my tomatoes plants, they just kind of died on me. I mean, they produced a lot, right? But then they kind of died on me. Again, it may have been some watering issue, et cetera, anyway. Sweet peppers of all kind, bell peppers of all kind growing now. One of the trees has produced a red bell pepper. And then I have chili pepper growing. I have our own native bird peppers, I guess you call them, growing. I have papaya trees in the yard. I have soursop tree in the yard. I have, these are all I've grown. I've planted myself recently. Hog plum tree, cherry tree. I have some mango trees coming up. I have a lemon tree coming up. So this morning, I chuckled when I was listening to Juan was because this morning I had to replenish toward getting, and Juan is right, these are basic stocks for us. My onions, my tomatoes, what else did I plant this morning? Cucumbers. Yeah, I replanted my cucumbers this morning. And so, you know, I'm doing my part. I'm not getting excited about inflation. I'm not going to sit around worrying about inflation. I'm just going to do whatever I can to be economical and save where I can, produce what I can. I have a plan going on now for my chickens. We'll see how that comes along. You just do what you can, you know, and it's not only is it cost effective for you, it's also therapeutic too, you know, because it can relax your mind and give you something to do. By the way, I also have a crab pen in the yard, so I keep my crabs. I don't have a big stock right now because I'm going to travel, and so I can't keep a big stock. I'll stock it when I come back, but we have enough for a meal, you know, do what we have to do. My son loves it. He loves caring for them and doing what he has to do with them. So you have to not sit around and get agitated by what is happening when you can't control it. You just have to figure out an appropriate way to respond to mitigate any negative effects and to take advantage of any opportunities that arises. Stay tuned. You know, I'm gonna share with you all some other exciting things we're doing in the agricultural space, but I can't speak to it just now, but stay tuned. And you know, listen, I live in a world of opportunities. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this planet. I've got energy, I've got a mind, and I'm going to make a stab at as many things as I can. If you're afraid to fail, God bless you. You do what you have to do. I am not. I've made a success of many things in my life. I've made a failure of many things in my life. I've learned from everything I've done in my life. And so try anything as long as I have the resources to do so. And where I need help, I ask for help. Where people have better knowledge and better skills and better understanding, I use that. I love to partner with people. You know, when somebody comes to talk to me, sometimes people come to me looking for information. Sometimes they're looking for guidance. Sometimes they are looking for help. But when people talk to me, I'm always thinking, is this an opportunity to partner with somebody to get something accomplished that can benefit both of us and or others? That's how I think. And so don't make no difference if you Bahamian or German or French or Haitian or Jamaican or American, as long as you're honest and willing to do noble and honest things, and I can be a part of that effort, Chinese, I'm on board. I'm on board, okay? So, you know, so I've got my nice little backyard garden going on, and it's going to get richer and richer in terms of the things that I can supply for myself. As I choose when I oversupply, because you can share them with others, and or you can cook them up and store them. You know, since I love to make batches of steam, as I told you all before. My neighbor, she also farms, and we give each other seeds and we give each other plants and what have you. So, and we share our harvest, you know, and so that's the way I think it ought to be. And so I hear people looking to the government for an inflation busting plan. Well, the government is never going to have a better inflation busting plan than Chivago-Lang, because the government can't do anything to bust inflation in any meaningful way. Cannot. But I can. Because I can control how much I buy. I can control what I buy. I can control pretty much what I can grow and go on from. So I make a little investment in my garden soil. I didn't even have to. I bought one or two pieces of wood in making my bed, my garden bed. You know, I didn't have to pay anyone to dig up the grass or anything like that. Guess what? Because I didn't even dig up the grass. I laid a flat. I had some shingles hanging around, right? And I just laid them over the grass and then laid my soil on top of that. And that was the bed, right? And made it easy enough to do that, you know? And so you can do a lot of things. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of information out there on YouTube and others where you can learn. There's even an agricultural group chat in Grand Bahama that people go in and they exchange seeds, they exchange information about things to do, they find out how to fix certain problems that they may be having. Man, listen, it works, right? So do what you have to do, and this may have an impact on you, but it doesn't have to have as much as an impact on you, because there are things that you can do. I have two cars in the yard. I have a Honda Accord, and then I have a little Passo. I don't ride the Honda Accord as much now. I don't, not as much, because it uses much more gas, you know? So I use it sparingly, but the Passo, you know, I can run up and down that for a little while, and the gas lasts a little while, and I'm good. And you think I care if I'm riding a little Passo, and y'all don't think I'm living in the year, or y'all don't think I look all that sophisticated, or you think that I should be driving. That's on you. That's your business. I don't care. Isn't there a song that says that? I don't care. Yeah, I mean, it don't really bother me at all. I try to teach my kids the same thing, man. Don't let people's idea about what you should not be doing dictate your lifestyle or behavior, so that you'll be hurting yourself doing stupidness, you know? So get it together, folks. Have a plan. Before I go out to run errands, man, I'm planning. Okay, this is in the same direction as that. So let's make a loop. That's what I'm trying to make. I'm trying to make a loop. I ain't trying to make no zigzags. I'm trying to make a loop. I go to this place, that's near to that place, that's near to that place, that's near to that place, that's near to home. Okay, so nearest place to home, nearest place to that, nearest place to that, and the nearest place to that, and the nearest place to home. That's what I'm trying to do, make a loop. I'm not trying to run up and down using gas I can't afford to pay for, because I have other things to pay for, you know? But don't let anybody fool you. Everybody has their struggles, man. You know, everybody has. And even if you don't have struggles, it doesn't make sense to waste money, waste gas, waste food, etc. So do what you have to do. Like I said before, I hear some people beefing on Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid is the thing. That's what I'm using, Kool-Aid. I manage my sweetener with it so that I don't get caught up in too much sugar and what have you, but I'm having me some Kool-Aid. And it's like somebody said, every now and then I'm squeezing it to give it a different flavor. Sometimes I mix it with some orange juice to give me a fruit punch. You know, I use the pulp from the watermelon too to make me a mix with that. So, hey, you do what you have to do. All right. We have some text here already. So, Mr. Lang, I want your thoughts on the utterly disgusting and unprecedented events of yesterday. The FBI had the nerve to raid a former president and possibly future president's house. This is a dark day for democracy when they can raid an innocent president's home. Mr. Lang, shame on the FBI. Boy, let me tell you something. You must be trying to provoke me today, because I couldn't disagree with you more about what you're saying. See, it's okay for you to talk that way, because the FBI doesn't raid people's homes on a regular basis for whom they have gotten warrants from the judge to do so. So in your mind, a judge would conspire with everybody else to go and do this. Because apparently, if you are a former president, and in your words, a future president, you shouldn't have to face the law if you are suspected of committing a crime. You shouldn't have to, according to you. Well, I don't share your view on that. I believe in laws. I believe that countries ought to operate on the basis of laws. And just as some poor black child's home was raided because the FBI convinced a judge that there was sufficient evidence to support that there was some crime committed and evidence of a crime in that home, and the judge gave them permission, I don't believe because you are a former president, as you say, a future potential future president, that the FBI can and shouldn't do the same thing. I don't want to live in that kind of democracy, because that's called a dictatorship or monarchy, where certain people are above the law. I don't want to live in that world. You don't want to live in this world. I don't want to live in your world. That's my thoughts. All right, this text says, good day, sir. Can you speak to the fact of Bahamians who might not have their own backyard to do farm and on the fact that food store owners saying that we were sheltered from the high cost of food and how it's going to go up? Oh, well, first let me say, you don't have to have a backyard to farm. Okay, you don't. People grow vegetables in their homes now. You just need to know how. You can go on YouTube and you can see how people do it. You can grow, like my bell pepper plant. I mean, it's a small little plant. I could literally have had it inside the house. So you can find space in your home to grow something if that's your interest. Okay, so again, I'm saying you can go on YouTube and find out how to do that. All right, so the absence of a backyard doesn't mean you can't grow stuff. Because even if you live in an apartment complex, well, you know, I know this is hard because being in the Bahamas, we have a challenge with cooperating. It is possible to cooperate with your neighbors and do something in a common space, all right? But, you know, you can control what you do in your house. That's possible, okay? If you can't do either of those things, no backyard, no growing inside, then you have just got to manage how much you buy, what you buy. That's all you can do. You only could do what you could do. You can't crying about it isn't going to help. Complaining about it isn't going to help. So you do what you can do for yourself. You buy what you can within the budget that you have. You eat as you can, rationing. You know, some people don't realize. During World War II, America put the entire American population on rations. In other words, Americans were given stamps that said you could only buy so much of this kind of item, milk, because they wanted to have the bulk of the supply for the soldiers. And so the population sacrificed so the soldiers could eat and have the energy to fight. And so rationing is possible for you to do so that you can bear out this inflation pressure. It's not going to be forever, you know, so you just do what you can do for now. As to what the store owners are saying about inflation, my understanding from all the information I have is that we are not going to see a tapering off of this inflation pressure until the end of next year. Okay, until the end of next year. So we may not stay at around 9%, 8%, 7%, but we will not get around that 2% that we have been accustomed to until 2024. So if the store owner is telling you to look for higher prices, you should listen to the store owner. You may not agree with them. You may not think it's justified, but listen to anything about it, right? Now, as for being sheltered from the high cost, somebody will have to explain to me how that happened because I don't see it. Because I've seen the prices in the stores go up, so I'm sheltering who? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Good.
Hello?
I'm good. And yourself?
All right, sir. You know, a very interesting topic that you have in the day. You know, Mr. Lang, the thing is that it's very difficult to adjust to a change. As the population is, I think they say, is 65% under the age of 60. And therefore, they grew up in this instant age, the microwave age, some people call it, where they want that instant gratification and that instant all the time. But like you say, we have to adjust. Tough times call for tough medicine. And the thing about it is, in 2016, I had food publicated for the time, Barrett. The title of the book says, that's it. 40 ways of mastering your own economy. You just actually touched on it, though. Great minds think alike. you know, there's hardly anything the government can do about inflation, but there are things that you can do, Ms. Lang, and you're correct. And like you say, you don't need a big backyard. They could go right on YouTube, and they could actually look at vertical garden. It would take very little space.
Right, right.
And, you know, the thing about it is I had a vertical garden a couple of years ago, and that's how I survived the COVID, right? I had a vertical garden that has 15,000 pieces on it. It was 16 feet long and 8 foot high. 15,000 pieces. And that is what I did. And, you know, the thing about it is it's very easy to set. Because you are in control of your own economy. We have to take control of 4 inches, aquaponic, hydroponic, solar energy, and poultry farming. So, you know, you could do a small one like that, or actually form a co-op. You know, everybody get together who has a yard. Everybody get to see the person who has a big box.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Caller.
Hey. You can hear me?
Yes, hi. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you could grow right now. What I'm doing right now, I'm growing in buckets. So you could move them around.
Yeah.
I have like maybe like 7, 8 buckets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grow them as long as you have that right soil. See, you have to have that
right.
Good soil. Not you can't use no the soil that they use, the ground soil. You have to use the soil have to be well drained. So you can,
right.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't be because some plants like pepper and all of them, they if they overwater, you know, change in color, leaves starting to get yellow and starting to get sick. So you need it, but it could dry out.
Right.
Come in. And,
right.
The next thing too, Sirago, I think the government needs to drop duty on at least for a year or two on all the farming, all farming supplies and all of that backyard farming supplies and all, you know what I mean, all the different things, all the drop the duty
and
drop it low. So people, because mm-hmm. it's still alive.
Right.
Yeah, so if they want people to start doing real production, that's what they need to do. Start all, every avenue or whatever, dealing with where people could stand in their life or have the better their life, that's what they need to drop off. Because they dropping off electronics, this and that, and all of them things being, we can't eat them later on because we ain't got no power. We can't even power them up.
And engage farmers to do stockyard farms or even people who are in apartments who don't have farms to be able to consult with them to help them grow their stuff and pay them a stipend, the farmers a stipend to do it.
That's correct. Hey, Bargo, I ended up learning how to farm. I learned how to plan and do my little backyard farming over the pandemic, and I go green thumb right away. Everything I plan right now, I do a lot of peppers. I get thyme,
mm-hmm.
I get basil, I have rosemary, all these, and I drink these teas. I don't buy tea, bye. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, and the thing with it, what it is now that you have to know once, like you say, we have people there who have, because we have a lot of people out there who know about farming, but they're not coming up. Because what happened is now some of them disgusting, some of them feel like they don't have no help in this country, so that's why they don't really bother it no more. But we have, this new Vago, before I go, we have sun year round. All we need, peppers, all the plants that we really need. Need sun, so we doing better. We don't have to put our plants inside the house in Christmas time when it's
right.
Snowing and everything. We have sun all around, so we could grow just about anything over here.
Right, because a lot of times the seeds instructions say wait until after the last frost, but we don't have that
That's
problem.
Correct. No, we don't. You know, man, have sun here. All you need is we got peppers. Them all you need is 80 degrees, and the thing with it, right? We could actually grow. You could grow seeds them on a heat mat, pepper stem. Seeds all space no, all the ways to generate, germinate your soils and everything and all. I mean your seeds and everything and all that. And you know the pH. See, I study the pH because I know what. But the plants some need 6.6, some need 7.0. So you need to know your soil too.
Right.
You know, we have a lot to go with, and I just wait until I can help folks because I know how to germinate seeds them from scratch. I grow a lot of peppers, hot peppers.
Well, why don't we start a group and WhatsApp chat, and then maybe that's a platform that we could use. You could share some information on that way.
Yeah, I already started something, and I was sending it out all around over in the Facebook platform, and I had neither one really grab it. I just opened up a page on Facebook named Green Dog.
Sometimes you need help to do it because maybe they don't know you as well.
Yeah, I understand that. I opened a page up on Facebook. Name Green Tom.
All right, well, let's look at it, but appreciate your calling, man. Thanks a lot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabba Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me, mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep. My damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call us today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have quite a number of texts here I want to get to. It says, lions and lemon trees, I have failed at both in our yard. Share your successful way. Thanks. Okay, so the lemon tree that I have, I actually just used the lemon seed from a lemon that I bought. And all I did was put it in potting soil in a little plant pot. And I watered it appropriately until it sprang into a little plant with about three leaves. And then I transplanted it in my yard. It's very slow growing, by the way, but it's growing. It's there, right? So, the onions are yellow. I know the onions that we're typically used to getting with the that goldenish, brownish skin. I don't remember. I don't know the exact name for it, but I'm growing that from seed. Now, I actually grew onions, you know, from cutting the, if you look at an onion that you buy in the store, you'll see this, these hairy portions of the onion. That's actually the onion pulled up from the ground. So if you cut a portion of that off the onion before you use the onion, you can literally plant that in the ground and you'll grow onions. I've done that before. Okay, so you can do it that way too. This text says, I agree, Mr. Lang. The day the Bahamas can have a federal hand of government who can raid all our former prime ministers and politicians' homes, like they did the President Trump and other former presidents, we will have a government in the sunshine and watch the Bahamas transformation of the Bahamas begin. Until then, it's a politician's paradise. You two are talking nonsense. This isn't a question of raiding. This is a question of right now, police wanted to go and search Hubert Alexander Ingram's home, Dr. Hubert Minnis's home, or anybody else's home. They need but only go to a judge in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and persuade the judge that they have probable cause to suspect that a crime has been committed and that warrant is necessary for the same, and they can do so. Okay? Let me tell you something, guys. And I'm dead serious about you, some of you. You can live in that little chamber of conspiracy or nonsense you wish to live in all you want. That's up to you. Nobody can stop you from living right there. That's up to you. What you won't have the luxury of doing, especially if I have a platform like this that I have, is sharing your nonsense with me to coddle you with it. Okay? It's just nonsense. You live in a world where there are rules and laws. Donald Trump's home was not raided. Just like, as I indicated before, and I'm deliberately saying this, just like many of Black men, young men in America, have had police and others come into their homes and showing the warrant to do so. In this instance, it happens to have been a former president. That's all that happened. And your language to try and describe it in the way that makes you all the victim of some special group of people doesn't change the truth, the facts at all. So live in your lie, live in your ignorance, live in your naivety, live in your conjured up jaundiced world, nothing about the truth and the facts of life. And the rest of us who listen to you and what you say and know you're talking nonsense, will simply call you out. This text says, Mr. Lang, the FBI did not raid Mr. Trump's home. They executed a search warrant for particular items that they believe were classified. In America, no one is above the law. Don't forget Watergate. No, thank you very much. I appreciate your sharing, but maybe some of them will forget Watergate because they're not interested in that. See, one of the things I learned from researching conspiracy theorists, remember, conspiracy theorists isn't interested in the facts. They're not interested in information. They're not interested in the truth. What they are interested in is the stroking of their egos, the massaging of their emotional dedication to a belief that they are special in the world, because they are victimized by all the abundant people who do not understand the special information they have. And so you can talk to them until you turn green. They will not believe you until they come to a revelation, as some of the January 6 people are coming to revelation now themselves, having been convicted in a court and then sitting in the court crying about it was Donald Trump who made them do what they do. Until they come to that same revelation, waste that much time. This text says there is another way to fight inflation, to buy food on sale and preserve it. You can preserve meats, fruits, vegetables, rice, and grain. I am now preparing pickled tomatoes that last a year. Preppers on YouTube teach how to screw. You can do that. Now, here's the thing. You can do that when you see the inflation coming. Okay, so if you believe inflation is going to continue rising, then you're right. You do that because what you're going to do is beat the prices by preserving later on. So that makes good sense. So like if like it is going to last now another year or so. And so if you can bulk buy and you can preserve, then you should do that. The problem is a lot of people can't bulk buy. Okay. The people who can should do so, like you say, people who can. But those who can't, then they have to use the other means. And so you're right. Bulk buying and preserving can do that, can help you. Even if you go to the stores, because some of these stores, they have these prices so high, people can't afford them, so the stuff's spoiled. So you can go and those soft tomatoes, those half-rotten sweet peppers and stuff, you can salvage them and steam them up or do preserves, as you say. And so you're right. There is another way that can be helpful. This text says, good day. Crisis presents opportunity. We, the government, should look into legislation that will make these problems stepping stones to a better nation. Okay. Maybe you can look. You should maybe have some recommendations about some of the regulated legislation. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hello. Hi, how you doing?
I hope your family's doing well, sir. If you allow me a moment in regards to this food situation. Mr. Lang, back in 1998, my son's mother left him on my doorstep in Seabreeze. When he was 4 years old, I was a bachelor. In Seabreeze, I decided this ain't gonna be easy. I'm a single man working at Metelco. I took up every piece of grass, lawn in my yard, front everything, every flower tree, everything, and I started growing mangoes, dillies, jujus, canaps. I started growing pumpkins, watermelon, tomatoes, cabbage, you name it, all around my yard in a beautiful home in Seabreeze. Seabreeze Drive, Seabreeze Estate. I had pumpkins hanging on my chain link fence. I used to tell neighbors when they passed by, if they want a pumpkin, they can have one. They were actually growing on the fence. In 2006, I moved down in Fried Estate, and I decided I was going to plant one tree. I started off with an avocado tree, a juju tree, banana trees, all around my home, in a little home on a piece of property, 100 by 50, but a government home. Mr. Lang, if you come down to my house right now, you will see what I told people. I've been telling people all over Facebook, all over WhatsApp, plant food, Bahamas. I told all, I said, instead of your, on that curry date you got, invest in some good soil. Instead of them crabgrass, them bougainvilleas, and them familiars, and this, put down food. They refused to put them down. Mr. Lang, even on the outside wages between my fence and the government yard, I planted banana trees, I planted morango trees, neem trees, avocado trees, even on the outside of my yard, there's no space left in my yard. Presently, I have 3 acres of property I just got from the government last September off Gladstone Road. I am trying, the government promised us they will make the push through the road to allow us, the people that they gave properties to access the property where we can start clearing the property, fencing in, and starting our farms. Well, you know how governments do. You know how governments go sometimes. They stop, review, and cancel. So we the new people that own properties, that have leased properties down there, we can't get to the property because the bad roads, the bush and everything, unless we invest in it, getting tractors to clear it. Right to this morning, I've been showing people avocados and everything that I've been giving away to neighbors. I tell Bahamians a long time ago, plant food Bahamas. Come in my yard right now. I can give you some of the biggest avocados. I got bunches of bananas on the way, and I normally give them away to my friends and neighbors.
Thanks, man. Thank you, Sparky. We appreciate that. Appreciate it. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, we have another call on the line. Hi, go ahead, caller. Okay, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. You're listening to Z Live on Survival. I'm your host. Take a stand, everybody.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to patients, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Host, so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I have a text here, says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. How in the world the International Bazaar on fire and the place vacant? the International Bazaar is vacant of ordinary commercial presence and traffic. It's not vacant because there are vagrants who occupy space down there. There are some commercial businesses down there. My barber in Freeport is there. Willard is there, still barbering. And there's a little a bar on the side there. So not every place is vacant. And just because the place is vacant doesn't mean vagrants can't harbor in the place, right? And that's what's happening down there. This text says, and also, do you have any naval orange? If so, could I have four, please? I don't beg, but I really like naval orange. I don't have any. Says, why are we importing limes and eggs? So don't demonize me, but it don't make sense to me. You telling me we can't grow lime or grow chicken for eggs? This is a crazy word. You know the problem with your question is, you're saying we. There's no royal we, my friend. there's no. Can you go and show me we who plants or grows chicken? Who's that we? Unless an individual grows the plant or the chicken, or a commercial business does it, there is no we that's going to do it. So let me give the question back to you. Why aren't you growing the plants? Why aren't you raising the chickens? Right? There's no royal we. It's not, we have to stop. We can't, those of us who say things like that really have to stop and think about it. Okay? We really do, because we're doing like there is one glob of thing people call Bahamian, who think with one mind and do all the same things. It's no royal we. And the government isn't doing it. The government is not going to get in agriculture. The government isn't, it's not going to happen. Right? And when it does, it don't seem to work out too well anyhow. Say that parcel ain't too safe, no bumper reinforcement front or back, just drive safe in that car. I drive safe in every car. You're supposed to drive safe in every car. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, how you doing, brother Lang? Everything good?
Man right here trying to keep it together.
Yeah, that's good, man. I go eating my yard in big. I go beans. I give it beans. Gold pepper, pigeon peas, cassava. I got some sweet potato big as your head. And Nassau,
you're a Nassau or Freeport?
Hey, wait, Nassau, Lang. Wait, Nassau.
I got everybody farming.
I have sugar banana. Ah, no, they're so sweet. The regular banana.
I need a chair when I come.
People want it, but they don't want farm. I wake up 5:30 in the morning, water my things. I go to my well, water my things.
Yeah.
I do everything. Yeah. Everything. I get some things from seeds. I got pastries right now. 20 pairs I want to sell and do things, man. Got to understand. nothing in life is free. You got to work hard for things.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberts came on the news today and said everything could be higher. Man, I go onions, I eat onion, I eat carrot, beets. Everything I go in my yard, I eat, you know. Brother, like, I got sugar apples.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
I eat, my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you, my friend. I use my yard, I use buckets, I use everything to grow things, man. And time to take my call.
I got you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I grew up on the island, the family island, Andrews, to be exact. And that is what you all are talking about now. My grandmother used to tell us that. She said there's going to come a day when you can't buy or sell. You understand? She said you should always prepare yourself by planting whatever you can plant. You know, these people have their yard beautified with all these flowers. You can't eat those things. You cannot eat those things. So you need to plant whatever you can put down. Right now, I've got a piece of property. I have all kinds of seeds. So everything I eat, I keep the seeds. And I have a few things planted now that I'm eating off, but I have plans to put down more. And I don't know if you remember when Super Value had like an orchard of limes, the small limes on Carmichael by their warehouse.
No, I don't remember. Okay.
Yes, that yard is to be loaded with those small limes, and it's like they put up all the trees, and the yard is still waiting to just bush, just grass there, and I don't know why they don't replant something there, because that looked like that was fertile ground, especially for the limes.
Well, limes tend to do well. Limes tend to do well in these parts. I know Grandmama used to have a flourishing lime industry. They used to export limes to the United States.
Somehow we need to do something where we can assist ourselves, because this is just the beginning of inflation. The prices going up and what's not, because I think it's going to come again. And it may be worse, so we need to prepare now.
Well, you know, the thing about it is we should not be surprised that prices are going up, because prices have never gone down. If you're younger, a child, the prices of things now compared to what they were then tells you that prices tend to go up as a general rule. What we are seeing now is just an acceleration in price increase that we're not accustomed to. We are used to 2% annual increases, not 6%, 7%, 8%. So this is extraordinary. But prices have never been going down, and they've never been standing still. They have always been going up.
And that's something, because even when the market price goes down, the item price still doesn't go down.
The market. Now, see, when you look at the market, I don't know what you mean by market, other than if you look at the like stock market prices or market prices related to how people track these things. Remember, these are day traders buying and selling, and so they have the prices going up and down every day on their trades. But that has nothing to do with what's happening in your stores on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the most part. They can impact it over time. But generally, what you and I are seeing is the demand and supply based on our buying and selling, not what the market is doing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. So prices ain't never going down, folks. You can't find a place in the world where you can say, if I look at things 10 years ago or so, prices have been basically the same. If you see that place, it's probably a very poor place, underdeveloped place where people struggle to do things, right? But generally, inflation is a part of modern life. But it just happens to be that more often than not, it's moderate, meaning around 2% or less. When you get to these 8% and 7%, then that's extraordinary for developed countries. And developing countries, but you do have poor economies where inflation could be 100%, 200%, 1,000%, making the value of the dollar or their currency essentially nothing, all right? So inflation is a common feature of modern economies. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat. When we come back, I want to talk to you about something else. We'll be back after the news break.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. So I hear people call these shows time to time about food security, about how we need to learn to feed ourselves, about how we need to be able to grow our own foods. And so, which makes sense. It like by food security is meant that you'll to supply yourself with a sufficiency of nutrients, right? A sufficiency of energy producing edibles. Because that's what food is, folks, okay? Food is energy producing edibles and the nutrients necessary for sustaining human health and life. So that's what food is. Food is tasty, but food isn't taste. I think God put the taste mostly to attract us to the food so that we could consume it heartily. But the truth is the food is really only about the energy. When you go and when the astronauts go into outer space, like the food isn't what they eat at home, right? They basically have stuff that's intended to give them the nutrients they require for their bodies to remain healthy and strong. They may have some ice cream up there and stuff, but basically they just get nutrient-rich stuff to sustain their bodies, right? When you are sick in the hospital and you can't, they put your nutrients through the IV drip and you never feel hungry. I've been on IV drip for days and I felt no hunger. Why? Because they are feeding my cells the nutrients through that water, through that drip. Okay, so we are caught up in the taste. So 90% of the stuff we're eating in the food stores has nothing to do with nutrients. They have to do with our preferences and desires for taste. Fruit Loops is not about nutrients. Cap'n Crunch, not about nutrients. Okay, those are ramen noodles. That's not about nutrients. Okay. Those corn chips and Funyuns, that's not about nutrients. You will get energy from them. You will get them. They are mostly about flavor and taste. They're not about nutrients. Bahamians generally are not walking into the food store thinking, let me get my most optimal supply of energy edibles or nutrients. That's not what we're thinking. We're walking in the food store thinking, I like to cook steamed chicken. I like to cook oxtail. I like to eat Funyuns. I like to eat peanut butter and jelly. And I'm going for the stuff I like to eat. I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, okay? Because I'm leading this to somewhere. So food security would be the Bahamas grows a sufficiency of energy edibles and nutritious edibles in order to sustain a healthy, energetic population. because your life and my life at the end of the day, time and energy. We can't do anything about the time, but the energy we can optimize by our intake of nutrition And with that energy, we use our brains to make efforts that can be good and bad, right? But we can't do anything without energy. So that's what the food is about. The food is energy source, life-sustaining nutrients for energy optimization, for use in the efforts that we apply on planet Earth. That's what it's about. On a very basic level, all that other stuff about sitting in a restaurant, eating bamboo, eating this and that and the next thing, all the rest of that, that flavor and taste and stuff, that's like just icing. The cake is I have the source of energy and I need to be able on planet Earth, I need to make. And that's basic food security, providing yourself with that. So if we dispense with 70% of the stuff we buy in the stores, as a matter of preferences, we then will find basically what we need to grow. One actually alluded to this today when he talked about, you know, you need your poultry, you need your rice, or something for your starch, and your vegetables and so forth. That's true. On a basic level, food security isn't about having steak. It isn't about having oxtail or ribs. It isn't about 80%+ of the stuff we consume. It's about finding and growing yourself, not depending on others, things that can give you sufficient energy and nutrition to be healthy and strong, to be a productive society. Now, once we decide what those things are, here is what is true, folks. Oh, I'm going to shock the heck out of y'all right now. I'm not even sure I should say this. I'm going to stun y'all. You know how y'all complain about foreign this versus Bahamian that? How the foreigner getting away with murder in the Bahamas and the Bahamian can't do this and that? How the farmer don't get no support and don't get no help, and the farmers can't, why don't we have wealthy farmers and so forth? You know why? Because basically, we, and I'm going to include all of us in it, we pick the winners and the losers in our economy. Not Prime Minister Davis, Minnis, Ingram. We pick the winners and the losers. Let me tell you how. Of all the food stores that exist in the Bahamas, the winners in those among them are the ones you patronize. If you patronize one more than the other, they win. Of all the restaurants in the Bahamas that you patronize, if you patronize one more than the other, or some more than the others, you pick the winners and you choose the losers. You do it, right? You, by your buying and your spending, you pick the winners and the losers. So if a Bahamian farmer, a Bahamian fisherman can win big in the Bahamas, it's because you have decided they can't win or win big in the Bahamas. You have decided that. I have decided that by our spending. We have taken our monies and we've made the rich very rich and continue to make them rich. And we said to the poor, you're going to stay poor because we don't choose you, period. That's how it works. So let me give you an example. I'm give you an example I know intimately. Chicken in the Bahamas. A Bahamian poultry producer like Abaco Big Bird is never going to win big in the Bahamas unless you pick Abaco Big Bird to win. And no other poultry operator. I used to run a chicken farm. I had grown over 500,000 chickens. I had chickens in some of our food stores, major ones, and hotels and so forth, right? Not a lot, but I had some, right? But Let me tell you what they do, what the major buyers do. Because they know that you have no commitment, you, the Bahamian consumer, has no commitment, certainly the tourists don't, you have no commitment to your own locally produced supply. They know that your commitment is basically to pricing. Your commitment is basically to pricing. They know that they can buy cheap chicken from Brazil, Panama. So they bring in trailer loads of that chicken from Brazil and Panama over a locally grown Abaco Big Bird chicken. And they get to make a good spread on the chicken. They buy the chicken at one point. They don't do it now, but they used to buy maybe 60 cents a pound, sell it to you for $2.23 a pound. So all that profit is theirs, well, less their operating cost. And that's what they do. And they know you don't care because you only care about the price. You don't ask them, is this locally grown chicken? Or you look at Abaco Big Bird and you go, they're a little bit more expensive. I'm not buying that. You have no commitment to it. And so how is food security and local production going to ever thrive if you don't vote for local production? Even by saying, you know what? This may cost me a little bit more, but I believe in food security. These producers being around for a long time gives us that. And I'm going to vote for them on this particular item in particular, because I have thousands of other items that we don't produce here, I can buy from abroad and save on those. This I'm going to do. But the stores know you don't care. So they buy and import cheaply, and I don't blame them. This is business. That's what they do. Because you won't vote for your local produce. So you pick the winners and you pick the losers. Your economy looks like your preferences. Your economy looks like you. The things that are supplied, the things that are provided, they are reflects who come here to visit you. You and I pick the winners and the losers. Every day you walk past that Bahamian store, and I'm talking about genuine Bahamian produce stuff. Now, I'm not talking about a Bahamian who is important for you. You could, if you send somebody... These food stores, they go away and shop for you. They have some Bahamian produced stuff in there, go and shop for you. So I'm not talking about them, because if you have the opportunity, as some people have, you can go and shop for yourself abroad. I'm talking about when you walk past Androsia and decide to buy Tommy or something else, when you walk past a low Abaco Big Bird and you go buy Purdue, when you do that, you are voting for them versus your local producer. And so when they don't win and they don't stay around or they don't get big enough, you that way. And so don't expect your economy look to change unless a sufficient mass of Bahamians change their preference to locally produced stuff. Now, I can't make you do it. I'm not trying to force anybody to do it. I'm just explaining to you that your economy looks like your preferences as a collective group. All right? And nothing changes unless your preferences change. This text says, praise God, explain it to them again for me, man. They making the people they complain about win. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't listen. If you look at Rupert Roberts and you have an issue with him, if you look at the Dalbinuses, if you look at the Pritchetts, if you look at the Bethels, any Bahamian successful story, Kentucky, Bamboo Shack and all of these, they reflect our preferences. So here you have in Bamboo Shack is one place where, as an example, Bahamians have chosen a Bahamian to win. Okay? Now, obviously, you don't just choose a Bahamian company because they're Bahamian. I don't believe in that nonsense at all. You aren't going to make bad food and then make me choose you because I'm sympathetic toward you because you're Bahamian. Bamboo Shack did its job. in competing with Kentucky Fried Chicken in that space and in daring a sufficient mass of Bahamians to itself. But Bahamians don't choose Bamboo Shack because it's Bahamian. They chose Bamboo Shack because over time, Bamboo Shack gave them a flavor that they wanted. Again, it was a preference thing. So that's why Bamboo Shack gets to stay in and win, because it did what it could do to tap into your flavor preference. Okay? Now, agricultural producers have this problem. They are not the ones who are producing your flavor. They are producing an ingredient for your flavor. And that's why they have a problem. Because you're not going to taste their chicken and say, oh, this is better tasting chicken than Brazil. You're not going to get that chance. You're just going to see chicken in the store and you're going to look at the price. And then you're going to choose on price, ignoring your own local produce and all the circumstances that suggest, you know what? I can tell you this much too. If you taste the chicken produced locally here, you may actually, in fact, taste the difference. I have had people do that. I have had people who come back to chicken when how many poultry producers chicken was on the market, because they said, Mr. Lang, this tastes like real chicken. But you know what it tasted like? It tasted like chicken that wasn't 9 months old. It tasted like chicken that wasn't pumped full of saline, salt. It tasted like chicken that wasn't, you know, manipulated commercially to ensure that it was heavy enough to get them enough pricing, but light on the nutrients. It was all natural chicken, no steroids, you know? But that didn't matter to too many people. Didn't matter enough. It certainly didn't matter enough to the big commercial buyers. Let me explain to you something that happened to me when I was in the business. 6:30 p.m. Sunday afternoon, I'm enjoying my family. You know, my farm is closed down. We don't operate on Sundays. I get a call from one hotel. Mr. Lang, we are out of chicken, and we need to get some chicken. Really, we need to get some breasts because we have a big group and we have some catering to do and so forth and so forth. And here's what I used to say to them. I said, no problem. We'll deliver for you on a Sunday now. I said, let me ask you a question. How come my chicken is good enough for you on Sunday afternoon, but all through the week, you don't have a problem buying your chicken from Brazil and doggone Panama? I am your chicken of last resort when you get in trouble. And it's edible, tasty chicken that you can buy, but on pricing, you don't want to buy enough from me because you want to go buy that cheap chicken from abroad in container loads. And they tell me, you know, Mr. Lang, you know, he and us and blah, 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 and so forth. And I said, listen, guys, this is what I used to say to them. I said, listen, treat me like what you're doing right now. Treat me as a part of your security. Provide me with 30% of your business so that when you have this need, I can supply it, because if you don't buy sufficient from me, I'm not going to be able to stay in business. But, oh, man, that was an argument that wasn't taken too very oftentimes, you know. But picking winners and losers every single day. It's not just the individual consumer who's doing it. Businesses are consuming. And I can tell you this much. Rupert Roberts of Super Value was, and I believe still is, one of the best supporters of locally grown produce of all the companies. I'm not saying the other companies don't, but he certainly, from my experience, was one of them who did. Now, again, compared to the bulk that he bought, maybe 10, 20%, 25%, you know, may have been part of what we supplied, and I don't even know if it's that high, but he did make a genuine effort to supply, you know, but unless Bahamians have a commitment to supporting, unless Bahamians have a commitment to patronizing for their own benefit their local agricultural and fisheries producers, don't talk about food security. Stop it. Stop fooling yourself. Stop kidding yourself, because you are choosing them to lose every day. Every day you're saying to them, the hell with you, give me the foreign man thing. The hell with you, give me the foreign man thing. The hell with you, give me the foreign man thing. Every day you decide, I'm not going to buy local. Now, I don't buy local crap, but I am saying that there is something to be considered when you think, okay, yeah, the local produce is marginally a little higher. And why is it marginally higher? You know why it's marginally higher? Because your cost is higher. Why is your cost higher? Well, your cost higher because is higher because where they make these things in the millions and millions and millions and millions of tons, here you can't make in the millions and millions. The nation is small. Additionally, so you don't get the scale. Additionally, you have all these other things that feature in your cost because you have to import so many things and to be a part of your production, your salaries level is higher than their Brazil and these kinds of things on these farms. So all of those combinations of things make it necessary for your cost to be a little higher. But if you factor that in and say, you know what? For food security reasons, for healthier choice reasons, better planning purposes, I'm gonna pay a premium on my local produce because it makes good sense to do so. Your local suppliers are not gonna supply 100%, 90%, 80%, 70%, 60% of anything that you have them producing anytime soon. Basically, they get to do maybe 30 at a maximum in a very generous circumstance, 40% of what you need. I mean, goodness, you can't vote for 40%, but you want food security. It's not going to happen. You got to vote differently. You want vote F&M, vote PLP? How about vote local Bahamian agricultural produce? Vote for that. How do you vote for that? By purchasing it. So and say, listen, this locally grown, that locally grown, you make a decision. Listen, when I spend my budget, I'm going to spend 30% at a minimum of my money on locally grown stuff. I'm going to do that. You make that decision and watch the difference. Enough of us make that decision. And I'm telling you, watch farming in the Bahamas take off. You watch it. You watch it. You don't have to listen to me. I'm just saying. Say, that's why Dirty's on Nassau Street still open. Their chicken are the best. Yes, Dirty's is another one. Rosalie's, is another one. You're voting for them. You're voting for them. You know, the Chinese, you know why Chinese restaurants stay open? You're voting for them. And I'm not complaining. We have a call on the line. Listen to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
I'm good, nurse. How are you?
I'm right here, my dear. I'm right here. Excellent show as always. You know, I have to laugh. But you know, honestly, we need to really support our locals more. Big Bird Chicken, honestly, I just love that Abaco Big Bird Chicken. That is so tasty. And when they went out of business doing from the hurricane, I was so sorry, you know. So I hope that they're doing much better now, you know. Because they lost a lot of chickens right. The other day, they said.
Yeah.
But I hope they, you know, get back on the good foot because, honestly, we always bought their chickens. But Mr. Lang, the other day, my niece went to buy plantain from somewhere. And my husband, honestly, he doesn't like the... every time he eats up, me fine, fall with it. Oh, this don't have no thing. Oh, this like that. Oh, the next thing. So I tell myself, now, listen, it's not like you grow your own things, you know. But the other day, my niece went to buy some plantain at a place, and they was charging $1.29 a pound. And I say, oh, my goodness, and this is a local plantain, and they were big now. But honestly, $1.29 a pound was kind of high, you know, I think. So sometimes we price our own self out of the market because we sometimes, you know, our local people, sometimes they just, you know, I asked the price of something the other day. I almost fall back over, and I say, you see, this is the reason why sometimes people do not like to buy.
But nurse,
plenty over.
But
you know. No.
No, but nurse, let me tell you something. Seriously, I know this market. I know it. I have had to live in it. So I don't theorize about it. It's not that they're trying to overprice anything. You just remember now. See, think about this, because we don't. If you are supplying a market with nipple, you can make 10 cents, 5 cents on a pound, because you're going to make millions of dollars.
Right.
You got a small market that you spent all that time, all that energy, all that effort, all that growing ingredients, and you only have a small market to supply it to. Your pricing has to be rewarding enough for you to live.
But it's true, you're right, and I feel too, like I know they were complaining, the farmers were complaining about the feed coming in and different things like that. You know, if they could get it at come in at a cheaper rate, would be good for them. And I think things like that really need to be encouraged. You know, the government has the control of that area. They should try to encourage them so they can grow these things, because a lot of farmers I see on the TV when they interview them, they complain about this. So they really need help and like that. And as far as the, you know, the farming, the backyard farming, I remember last year or the year before, I think it was the year before, that they started giving out kits, you know, because I know they gave them out in my area, they gave them out with my daughter, and all the other constituency, they were giving out the little farming kits so you could start doing backyard farming. And it was, I started planting my little okra seeds, Mr. Lang, and I was so proud when I see them come up, because I love okra.
Yeah, I know you feel.
Yes,
I know how you felt.
The thing about when you get some of your yard, it tastes better, you know. So when you get that watermelon and that cantaloupe now, that can taste so good.
Yep, I've been there. Done that.
But I want to know how to grow my sweet peppers. Every time I plant it, they tell me, everybody tell me, you can plant the sweet pepper seeds, you can plant it, but it'll come up and then it die, you know. Sometimes they just don't come up. I don't know. Maybe the soil is not right. I don't know.
Yeah. You need to get garden soil. If you're going to do it, go buy the garden soil, because the garden soil will have the level of nutrients you need, because otherwise, you know, some of our natural soil might be a little bit too challenging, maybe too acidic, too something.
But I just started off in the little pots with the little soil that they gave when they was giving out the boxes, you know?
When you transplant it, you have to transplant it in supportive soil.
A lot of yard, but I have enough. I could plant stuff, the little stuff, and because when you get them, you feel so good. This come out of my yard, and it tastes better.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling always. Thank you. All right, we're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Hey, Kay, how you doing?
Man, I'm good. I hear you expanding. That's true?
Yeah, so now you can eat at and own a slice of the gyro.
I like that. What do I need to get started?
Go to awacx.com, pick Tropical Gyros, and click Invest. It's that easy.
Is it expensive?
No, man. You can invest for just $9 a share with a minimum of 4 shares.
That's it? Man, I'm going online now. Go to awacx.com today to invest in Tropical Gyro. For more info, call 603-5270 or email invest@awacx.com.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio,
your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 90 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp on 439-3043. You know, in the Bahamas, we hear people call these shows or write and talk about making millionaires in the Bahamas and the government don't make no millionaires and blah, 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 and blah. No, the government doesn't make any millionaires. Ask the numbers people. You see those numbers, guys? You see how rich they are? They aren't rich because the government made them rich. Because when the government said that it was illegal for them to do what they do, you were making them rich. You were making them rich. If that industry is worth $400-500 million a year, you did that. You voted for that. Not in the referendum. You voted by your gambling. I'm not criticizing the activity. That's on you. It's legal now, so I don't have any problems with what the gambling gaming industry does. No problem. They're legal. The guys who are in them are entrepreneurs. They're legal. They're doing what they need to do. I'm not criticizing them, but they're millionaires. They got lots of cash, lots of money. Some of them more than others. They have it because you voting for them. The ones who winning the most, you voting for with your spending. That's how it works. That's how you get millionaires. You voting for them. When a business in the Bahamas closes down, you didn't vote for them. You didn't vote enough for them. Wendy's is doing exceptionally well amongst all the regional counterparts, we are told. You voting for that. So, again, I'm simply saying that there's so much power in our patronage to be able to prosper businesses that are producing local produce. And that power, the problem with the power is, here's the problem. Let's suppose my personal spending represented 80% of the spending of the Bahamian population. Then if that were true, I could choose individually by myself the winners and the losers. Whoever I patronize, because I represent 80% of your spending, that $2 billion worth of spending you spend, I would be representing basically $1.6 billion of it. So wherever I go on a daily basis, I'm picking the winners and the losers. The problem is none of us individually has that kind of power concentrated in ourselves. So unless there is a collective critical mass of us deciding on a common mission of patronage of local produce, we never get there. So unless we decide, I'ma go Big Bird, you come on down, because you're the next contestant on the Bahamas, got you. If we decide, listen, Mr. Roberts, Courtright, any other store, I see your chicken, but I want Abaco Big Bird chicken. Or I want whoever Bahamian, I want them. No, I'm not buying it, bro. Then they can stay. You know what? You're not saying a word to them. You know, they just be noticing, why the chicken staying on the shelf though? Why is it staying in the freezer though? Why is it not moving? Then somebody's going to be prompted to ask customers, well, how come this? Because we're looking for Bahamian grown chicken. That's what we're looking for, Bahamian grown chicken. Why are these particular potatoes and sweet potatoes not moving? that we bought from abroad because we want the Bahamian grown. That's what we want. And then you watch and see what happens. You change the Bahamas. You could change the Bahamas profile. You could change the, if you think Bahamian businesses, Bahamian hotels in the Family Islands aren't doing well, you change your vacation. Yeah, they pricey, but you want them when? Dude, you want them when? You know prices in Florida now ain't like they used to be, right? Them car prices and hotel prices, they are not what they used to be. I used to be able to go book one of them hotels for $65. Nowadays, $130, $40, $200 is easy, right? But you pick the winners, you pick the losers. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I had to call you back on this issue. Mr. Lang, you know, a lot of Bahamians around here don't know there are many millionaires around here, you know. You talk about farming, Mr. Lang. A lot of people don't know. We have farmers around here making thousands of dollars a week, a month. But you don't see them driving around here with no Mercedes and Lexus or nightclubbing and partying with no bunch of gold and Rolex watch and thing. Most of them fellas out behind Cowper Road and off Gladstone Road around the place, they on the farm all day with their helpers and their trucks, old second-hand truck, because they got to be up and down all kind of rocky road and everything. Those fellas are on them farms every day growing acres and acres of, you name the different type of fruits and vegetables. And they don't hardly ever come uptown. You want to meet Mr. Forrester, Bo, and all of them, you got to go around their farm and around their house and think. They walk around in boots and old pants and old T-shirts and think. They're dirt. You don't hardly see them uptown. They don't show off their money
right.
Wagon and this and that and that.
All right. I got you, brother. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. We have a text here says, Mr. Lang, the problem is we want to patronize local farmers, but most things local cost three times more. I don't get that. How could produce local cost more than produce imported? Well, it's because you don't understand economics. That's really the bottom line. Nor do you understand business. That's the only reason. I'm sorry to tell you, right? But it's easy for somebody who understands it to understand how that happens. So let me see if I can help you understand it. I tried. God knows I tried earlier, but I'm going to try once more, okay? Let me tell you. So in Brazil, let me give you an example. In Brazil, can have a chicken farm that has 1,000 houses, okay? And so each house has 25,000 chicks. Okay, that's a lot of chickens, okay? And then they can go and process on their processing plant that processes 6,000 birds an hour, those chickens. Now, Brazil's population, in case you don't know, is Brazil has a population of, let me help you out here, of 202 million people. Oh my God, listen to me. 202 million people. So the Brazilian man supplying for 200 million people can produce on a plot of land millions and millions of chicken without an additional fixed cost attached to that. So that man, that Brazilian, can produce that at a much lower average cost than a Bahamian could do, producing for a market of, local market of 400,000 and then extended 7 million because of tourists, okay? So the Brazilian man sells his chicken and he can have a profit margin of 10 cents. But he's selling to 200 million people. So he's making vast amounts of profit. The Bahamian person doesn't have that luxury. So whereas the Brazilian man is spending on electricity, maybe 20 cents a unit, a kilowatt hour, the Bahamian man is spending 32 cents a kilowatt hour. His cost is higher. So what do you want him to do? What is it that you would like him to do? He has to recoup his cost. He has to bear in mind that he is selling to a small market that he had to incur a higher cost per, on average than the Brazilian man. So he then prices his product to make a profit for himself and meet the cost that he had to bear to consume. If he was like me, and I'm telling you what I did when I had the poultry farm, I hired 90%. I couldn't hire them below minimum wage, and I paid them above minimum wage. The Brazilian man is not paying minimum wage that I'm paying to the people who produce it on his farm. So the Bahamian man on average has a higher cost to produce than the foreign person. And that's why he's charging you more. He's charging you more. And don't exaggerate and tell me he's charging you three times more. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Maybe in some areas it could be as high as that, but in many areas it isn't as high as that. But I can tell you it can be high enough for you to recognize it, because there is a scale, economies of scale difference in cost that the Bahamian has to bear, especially when this is his life. This is his livelihood. This is how he pays himself. These average farmers, this is how they pay themselves, especially when they know they can't rely on you. They don't even know if they're going to be around tomorrow, because you can easily just decide to go and vote for the Brazilian chicken, vote for the American egg, and all these other things that you vote for every single day. So don't be surprised. You're not knowing how it could be higher is because you just don't understand the economics of it. You do not understand what it's like to have a big population like China and Brazil and United States and India and those, where low producing a lot of the stuff that Americans and all consume or manufacture. You just don't understand that. And I don't know if I've helped, but you know. We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we can close out. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Do you know that it's not necessary to renew your NIB smart card when the date on the card has expired? That's right. Renewal is not required for children ages 0 to 15 or adults ages 16 to 59 years old. Persons who may apply to renew their NIB card include seniors turning 60 years old, children turning 16 years old, persons whose cards have been lost, damaged, first-time Bahamian and permanent resident adults. Non-Bahamians may apply and will be issued a verification letter. For more information on NIB Smart Card renewal, go to nib-bahamas.com or visit our Facebook and Instagram pages today. This message is sponsored by the National Insurance Board.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 60285, or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today for these last remaining moments of the show. You know, the texter who said that they don't understand how imported stuff could be less expensive than imported stuff, than locally produced stuff. Let me see if I can help them again, because I think that's a very important question, and I think it's one that plagues the Bahamian farmer for sure. So let's look at it like this. Okay, so let's take Brazil, as I was saying. Let's take Brazil. In Brazil, they are supplying a market of 200 million. So let's say they are growing or buying chicks, right? Let's say they're buying chicks. If you buy 50 million chicks versus the Bahamian who might buy, in my instance, as an example, so one buys 50 million chicks, one buys 50,000 chicks. Who do you think gets a better price per chick? The 50 million chick purchaser or the 50,000 chick purchaser? There isn't even a competition. The person buying in bulk 50 million is going to get a lower per chick cost than the person buying a 50,000 order. That's what you call scale. So the Brazilian chicken is already a win just on the cost of chicks. Okay, just on the cost of chicks already, they're going to win. The Bahamian and the Brazilian has to buy feed. Who's going to get the better price on feed? Somebody who's buying feed for 50 million chicks, millions of pounds of feed, or somebody who's buying a few thousand pounds of cheese feed for 50,000 chicks? You got it. The person buying the millions of pounds of feed is going to get a per pound cheaper rate than the person buying the 50,000. So the Brazilian chicken producer is winning on the chicks and on the feed. The feed is the most costly part of the whole exercise, okay? Brazil is supplying electricity for millions of people. So their power producers can spread their costs over millions of households. In the Bahamas, you're getting that cost spread over thousands of households. Who do you think is going to get the better electricity cost per unit? The Brazilian or the Bahamian? The Brazilian. So same thing for water. Same thing for wages. Same thing for a plant that he supplied. A plant that can put out millions and millions of pounds on a yearly basis compared to a few million pounds that the Bahamian might be able to put out on his thing. Who's winning on the production, cost production per unit part of the business? The Brazilian. So for all those reasons, the Brazilian is going to have a lower cost per chicken. That's why he sells the chicken for 60 cents, 70 cents, 80 cents per pound, where the Bahamian has to do and sell the, produce the same chicken for about $1.20 a pound. Same thing happens in Jamaica. Jamaica has a higher cost per unit than an imported thing. Did you know what the Jamaicans do? The Jamaican government don't let you import chicken into Jamaica unless the Jamaican suppliers have already provided, used up all their supplies. So it's a cost issue because of scale. And by scale, we mean size of your market. And so these big markets are able to do more. That notwithstanding, if you walk away from my conversation with any takeaway, here's the takeaway. I'll say it again. The businesses in the Bahamas who win are chosen by you. When we were having the WTO debate, and people kept saying to me, oh, if Walmart came in, Walmart would wipe out all the local suppliers, as if Walmart was to get all the buyers. Walmart could only win in the Bahamas if you choose Walmart. And why would you choose Walmart? Because they're cheaper? Because you have no loyalty, no commitment, no conviction about Bahamian-owned businesses? That's the only way they could win. Just like Kentucky could only win if you make them win versus any Bahamian local franchise. Every business wins if you patronize it more than any other business. You choose the winners and losers. Not a prime minister, not a cabinet, not a parliament. We choose the winners. We make the millionaires. We've made many millionaires in the United States of America. We, Bahamians. We, Bahamians, who import over $3 billion worth of things, we have made many millionaires in the United States of America, in particular in South Florida. We have done that. We've made Cubans millionaires. We've made all kinds of people millionaires because we choose the winners and the losers. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.